I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? If you've got your Bible, turn in it to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And while you do, let me just tell you, next week I'm starting a new series. So this is the last one in the series called Whole Again. So next week I'm starting a series out of the book of Psalms. Now here's where this came to me. Really just in my time with the Lord and my time trying to find refreshment and encouragement. I'm one of those that really gets affected the shorter the days get and when the darkness just seems to take over. And I'm starting to look out my office window and it's getting dark about 3. I'm praying and I just say, Lord, I just need encouragement. Well, I know even since I was a young kid, one of the places that I would turn for encouragement at night, especially when I was going to bed and sometimes when I had problems with fear and had a hard time falling asleep, is I had a book of the Psalms next to my bed. And I would just read it and think about what must that person have been going through to write words like this. Well, there's a psalm, Psalm 77, that says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands. I love that. And I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. And so these are such powerful words because you can just picture, this is not somebody that's having a great day. Can you tell? This is somebody really going through some anguish and some trouble. And yet he finds strength, what? In his relationship with the Lord and in his hope and in the things that the Lord has done in his life and in those songs that gave him courage. And so about a year ago, we did kind of a historical study on Wednesday nights. This isn't going to be so much that as it is going to be just a devotional time. And we're going to be walking through several psalms. Not every one of them. There's 150. In 151 if you're Ethiopian. But out of those, there are some that are just going to really be an encouragement to us. And so what is a meditation? I know when I was a kid, people would use that word. And I always thought of somebody with their legs crossed in a trance, right? The word meditation in the Bible means that I just ponder on it. I just roll it over in my mind and I think about it in my spirit. And it gives me strength, it gives me hope, it gives me life. That sound okay to anybody? What are you going to say? So feel free right now, if you're watching this on record, fast forward to next week because it begins next week. Anyway, this morning I want to share one last thought from this series on being made whole and what it means to be made whole. The Apostle Paul was not just a theologian, but he was a pastor. When he taught, he was always speaking to people and speaking things that would give them life. He was the master of Old Testament scriptures, call it the Hebrew Bible. And he knew all of that rich tradition that came from the Israelites' relationship with their God. And yet he also was somebody that was very familiar with Greek philosophy and Greek language and how to say things in such a way that made sense to a whole new generation. And so in many ways, that's really what Christianity or the theology of it in the Bible is a taking of that rich Hebrew tradition and opening up in some new language that is for a new generation. And so what we get from the Apostle Paul is some words that are just brilliant. Sometimes for the Apostle Paul, it's just one word. And that's the thing that we think about because it just wraps up so much about what God does in our life. And for me, I couldn't think of one word that has meant more than this one, grace. This morning's message is brought to you by the word grace. Do you remember how they used to say that on Sesame Street? Today's episode is brought to you by the letter G. And it was G all morning long. Well, you might get tired of it, but I never do. This morning's message is just about grace. Who could use a little grace right about now? It's one of the biggest concepts in the Bible. Max Lucado wrote a book a few years back that I just loved. In fact, probably my favorite part is the title of the book. It was called Grace, More Than We Deserve, Greater Than We Imagine. And so I think if the world need anything right now, it's just a big old-fashioned dose of grace. So read with me in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in about verse 4. You can read it from the screen or your own Bible, either place, but let's read it together, can we? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Those are such simple words, but I want to talk about both of them. Because sometimes we narrow it down into just one thing. And just like salvation isn't just one thing, neither is grace. It comes out in every aspect of our relationship with the Lord. And verse 6 says, and God raised... Did I skip too far ahead? I skipped this part, so I'll read it to you. And God raised us up. Can you give me a little grace this morning? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I love the way he talks like that. Not only someday are we going to be raised with Christ, but he says he already did it. In theology, we call that a proleptic statement. Paul talks about something that's going to happen as if it's already a reality. Like he talks about resurrection power, giving strength to our mortal bodies and enlivening us right now. It's not just someday there will be a resurrection, but resurrection life changes our reality today. And he says it already makes a difference. We've already been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. I'm so sorry I didn't put that up for you. But then he says, for it is by what? Grace you have been what? Saved. Through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so when he says we're not saved by our works, that doesn't mean that after God has done the work in us, that we don't have work to do. That just means that we didn't obtain grace because we earned it. It wasn't that we deserved it. We didn't have to somehow go through 18 steps and now we found grace. God showed us grace before we even did anything. And it's because of that that he's taught us now to minister by grace and to be a light in the world. And so what a great word for this morning. It says that it's by grace that we are what? I'm going to say it over and over. You may as well participate. That's why you're here, isn't it? I hope you're even participating at home. Don't worry. People won't think you're crazy. It is by grace that we are what? Saved. And for one more time, can I remind us that that word is a lot bigger than sometimes we think? The word sozo in the Bible basically means the word sos is to be safe. And so sozo means to make safe. That's what salvation is. Sometimes we say salvation in church and we turn it all just into a spiritual thing. Or what is salvation? You say, oh, that's when God forgave me of my sins. That's so true that we were forgiven because of the grace of God. But that's not the only way grace comes out. That's one of the times that we get changed and he starts us over. But throughout the Bible, that word salvation means to be made safe, to rescue, to deliver, to heal, and guess what? To make whole. Like he said to the woman at Capernaum, sister, daughter, your faith has made you whole. You've been made whole again because of God's grace. And so it isn't only for forgiveness, though it starts with that. But friends, every morning I wake up, I think my most common prayer, I think most every day my day starts with me just telling the Lord, Lord, I just need your grace today. I just need your grace today. Whatever else it starts off with, I know that's going to be the first one. I need grace because I can't do it on my own. There's so many things that I can't handle. I can't even manage my own emotions on my own. Say, I need your grace today. I can't get rid of my self-condemnation or I can't get rid of my anxiety on my own. I need grace to do all of those things. I can't heal from the wounds of my past without God's grace flowing through me. So I just start off every morning by turning on the spigot and saying, God, turn on the grace today because I need to get through another day. Anybody with me so far? You say, you know, there are a lot of things I need in my life. But friends, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need anything more than you need grace. We all do. And that's how we survive. That's how we get through it. And so let's just talk about it for a little bit today and read some of Paul's great verses. First thing he talks about is that initial saving grace, that when we were yet sinners, God died for us on the cross, and his grace has reconciled me to him. And so even in our relationships with each other, one of the things that brings us back together, one of the things that keeps us married after all of these years is grace. I love looking out at the audience and see some beautiful single people, and I see some beautiful married people. And some of you have been married a long time. So let me ask you, can you be married a long time without grace? Isn't that like number one, two, and three most important things to get it through? We need lots of grace. You need grace. I have to have grace. And the interesting thing is, during this time when everything is so divided, by the way, when you turn on the evening news, do you hear a lot of grace? Is there a lot of grace in the way they talk to each other? Even the ones that are friends. I was watching a sports show the other day, and these guys are arguing about sports. And you know, after the TV camera is off, they just talk nice to each other. But for some reason, it sells advertising space if they yell at each other about whether somebody's going to win next Saturday or not. I'm like, what is the point of all of this anyway? I'm grateful there's some time we can come and just find grace together. The more things try to pull us together, the more we need grace to pull us back together. And so the Bible says in Romans 3:22, in a time when the Roman church was being pulled apart by division, they were Gentiles and there were Jews and they were all Christians, but they'd get to the point where they'd stop meeting together. They all met in their own houses. They didn't fellowship. And Paul says, listen, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Anybody say amen? He said, listen, there's no difference. Now, we have differences. We have different opinions. We root for different football teams. Somebody roots for the Seahawks. Somebody roots for the team that's going to lose. And yes, I know we lost last week. That's all right. Grace upon them, even when they lose. But the more things pull us apart and politically all these things, we need something to pull us back together. And we realize we're not the same size and shape. We don't all look the same. We don't all think the same. But we've got one thing in common, don't we? We're all sinners and we all need grace. That's one thing that pulls us together, because raise your hand if you don't need grace today. Oh, please don't. I don't want lightning to strike you right where you sit. But we all need grace. But there's not a lot of grace in this season. Why? Because, you know, some people like the mask. Some people don't. Some people voted for one guy. Some people voted for another guy. And you'd think, I was really hoping that after the election, whoever won, it would all be over. But I guess not. It's still dragging on. And people are deciding, even churches are deciding whether they're going to be a red church or a blue church. I didn't know there was such a thing. You know, as for me, I was talking with some pastors last week. I said, you know, I just want to be a purple church. When we come to church, I mean, vote for whoever you want. But when we come together, we're all just purple. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. I even thought maybe we could turn Purple Rain into a worship song. I don't think it's possible, but we should come and just start singing together and kumbaya or something like that. I don't know, just somehow or another, we ought to be able to just come together. And as soon as I say that, next week, we're all going to be in our homes again. And yet still, friends, no matter where we are, God can bring us together. I was watching the, afterwards, I've been watching all of the debates and all of the speeches and the things just because I care and I pray for those people. And it took about a week till like Friday till Joe Biden came out, and it's kind of an accepted speech, even though stuff's still in the court, but he just kind of gave an address. And And it wasn't too long, so I watched it on YouTube, and his basic call was a call for healing. And I thought, well, I can't be against healing. I mean, and while he's talking about healing and reaching out to both parties and stuff like that, there's comments that go on the side. You ever watch the comments? Sometimes those are better than the speeches. But this comment came on by somebody whose username was God is love. And I thought, oh, this is great. Somebody's going to witness right here in the middle of the speech. Guess what God is love's message was? One word, all capitals. Cheaters. I just thought, okay, great. Now, you might agree with that or not, but I just thought, okay, here's your one opportunity. You have one word to preach the gospel to half of the nation that didn't vote your way. You got one word to tell people about Jesus. What's your word? Cheaters? I said, I don't know. It was just funny because that was it. It said, God is love, capital. Cheaters. I said, okay, maybe at least change your handle. You know, change your name before you shout something out like that. But it's just funny. People are funny. And in the midst of this all, I just couldn't help but remind myself, Lord, you know what we need? We need more rain. Not the kind that comes from the clouds, but I wish the clouds would just open up and pour out grace on our nation right now. Just dump it like a rainstorm. Just where we were just kind of having flash floods of grace, and it filled up all the valleys and washed out all of the trash. They used to call it down in the South gully washers. You know, just wash all this stuff out and give us a fresh start. We got enough tension already. What we need more in the world is grace. Anybody say amen with me on that one? Salvation is this big topic. And because salvation isn't just one thing, so grace is not just one thing. Grace is something that intervenes in every area of our life. And when God brings grace, it ministers to everything that's going on in us. And so in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says this. Would you read it with me? For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, did you notice something? When I was in Bible college, by the way, whenever somebody said grace, it was almost always the kind of grace that forgives me of my sin and reconciles me to God. When they thought of grace, and because that verse says it's not something that you earn by works, it's a gift of God, there's a big theological word, monergistic, which means that it's entirely a work of God. Now, I believe that about grace. That's God's work in me. But that's not the end of God's grace. Listen to what he says. He says, grace has appeared now that offers salvation, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and world passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So after I get forgiven of my sins, God's grace continually grows. It's God's grace that gives me self-discipline. It's God's grace that gives me mental strength to not dwell on negative things. It's God's grace that empowers me to say no to things that are unhealthy. You know, we can't say no. It's hard for me, but I need God's grace to stay away from that refrigerator. Anybody else? That is grace. You say, that's not grace. Yeah, grace is all of that. Sometimes I'll hear parents say, you know, well, my husband's more about justice, but I'm more about grace. I said, wait a second. Discipline and justice is a part of God's grace too. All of those things are provisions of God in our life so that we can keep going. God's grace comes not just in one way. It comes in many ways. I like to use the phrase rather than monergistic grace, something that God does, it's manifold grace in all its different colors. Grace comes sometimes to bring discipline in my life when I've messed up. Grace comes sometimes to keep me from messing up. It hedges me in. It shows me God's love. Sometimes it comes to bring humility in my life because I'm being too judgmental. And then grace comes in and I said, oh yeah, I too need grace in my life. Anybody with me so far? All of those things are an outworking of God's grace. And friends, if you're struggling right now with whatever it is, pray for grace in your life, not only for you, but through you. And so the first thing it does is it helps us to start over. The second thing grace does is it empowers us to serve others. And so grace isn't just something that flows to us. It's also something that flows through us. And so he uses us now that we've experienced grace. Just this last week, I said, God comforts us. Rather, Paul said it. He comforts us so that we could comfort others. The reason God pours out grace on me is so that I can turn out around and show grace to others, so that I can be a fountain of his grace. It didn't originate with me, trust me. Nothing that wonderful originates with me. But God's grace is something that once I've received it, I can pass it along. I can be gracious to somebody else. And so 1 Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of the grace, of God's grace in its various forms. The King James Bible actually says of God's manifold grace, that we're stewards of it. We don't just catch God's grace so that we can catch it in a big, giant collecting pool. We are channels of his grace. He pours it us through us like a spigot, and then it gets poured out into the world. We're not just collectors of it, but we're channels of God's grace. And so he can show what grace is through us. First, we receive it, and then we turn around and we hand it off to others. And friends, if you have a hard time receiving grace, sometimes you'll have a hard time giving it. But life comes along soon enough and teaches every single one of us how badly we need grace. You know, when I was younger, Molly and I have both had to repent, even though I don't think we were very judgmental towards people. But we would look probably just in the bottom of our hearts and look at some kid throwing a tantrum in a store, or some teenager that was running around and not minding their parents. And, you know, if you've never had kids, you can sit back and think of all the verses that you could quote to them that don't, you know, train up a child in the way they should go, and in the end they will not depart from it. So what the converse of that is the kid's missing up, it's probably because the parents didn't do their job, right? Isn't that the guilt that comes with that verse, even though it's meant to be a promise? And everybody that's had kids now, except for Steve and Donna McAtee, because their kids were angels, but everybody else I've ever known has had at least one kid that was really hard to rein in. And they parented that kid just as good as they parented all the other kids. So what's the difference? Free will. There's all sorts of things that can come in. And now that I've raised seven teenagers, I can just tell you, there's not an ounce of judgmentalism in me. I can tell you, there are stories that I won't be able to tell you for 20 years that are still going on in my life. And I love my kids, but I'm just going to tell you, you can do everything right and still have challenges in your life. And you know, sometimes, whether your challenge is kids or your marriage or your finances or your health, things like that have a way of teaching us humility and how much we need to have grace on somebody else. You can be really judgmental on somebody that's getting divorced until you yourself go through a divorce that's against your will. And now when you see somebody, you say, oh yeah, I know how painful that is. It's different, right? It's different once you've experienced it. You realize you can't keep every bad thing from happening in your life. And just as we need grace on other people. We need to be gracious. We need to look at that person and say, listen, your struggle isn't my struggle, but I know that I need grace just as badly as you do. So let's pray together and help each other through it. Anybody with me so far, say amen. And so it's God's grace that helps us to navigate life without getting hung up. So let me just ask you, anybody know what it feels like to be hung up? Anybody hung up right now? Anybody just kind of stuck in a rut? And so there's things in life that come along that, and I keep asking myself during this pandemic, and don't worry, I have a new clicker coming because this new one is terrible. So anyway, there is a process through which we go through that teaches us how to rely on him and not to get stuck on one thing. So every time something new comes along, like this one, like I know we told you could go back to phase two, but now for 2 weeks you have to meet online only, and you've got 2 days to communicate that to your congregation. It's a challenge. And I know there are some, because I talked to some of my friends and people that are just struggling with, well, should we mind this rule? Should we not mind this rule? I've just decided in my heart that I'm going to really be picky about the things I get hung up on, because I don't want to get stuck. You know, should I get mad about this? You know, in life, one of the secrets is figuring out what hill you're going to die on. Is this the hill, Lord? Is this the hill I need to turn around and just face it and say, this is all the farther I go, I'm not going one step further. Is this the point in time that I just sit down on my backside and I said, I'm not moving? Is this the point I'm going to dig in? I got to tell you, if the point of digging in is just wearing a mask, you've been dealing with that for a long time now. How's it going? You know, we can say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. But eventually, friends, we've got to get to the point where we can keep going no matter what comes at us. We can handle this. We can get through this one just like we got through all the other ones. Anybody with me so far? To not get so hung up that we get stuck on one thing. So whether it's a mask, whether we shut down for 2 weeks, we open back up, it's probably not going to be the last frustration that we deal with on the way to being fully open. But in it all, I just want to keep moving forward. Anybody else? Don't get stuck. If you've already stuck yourself, unstick. Let yourself keep flowing. Experience grace again, all right? Experience grace again. Grace is like the oil that you put in your engine that keeps it from freezing up. What happens, brother, if you forget the oil? Yeah, not good things. I love Ken Novak. He's a guy in our church that, and hello, Ken, if you're watching. But he has so many old toys at his house, more than anybody I know. Old tractors and trucks and machinery, if you like that kind of stuff. His house is like a museum. And one day, because I was changing the oil in my motorcycle and in my car, and I was doing all this research online, and you want to waste an afternoon, go online and try to figure out what the best kind of oil is. Because there's a million opinions, and I don't know if any of them know what they're talking about. But they'll tell you, this kind of oil is better, and this kind of oil, and I use this kind of oil, on and on. And I just said, you know who knows probably more about oil than anybody? I should ask Ken at church tomorrow. So I got to church the next day and said, Ken, I've been reading all these opinions about these different brands of oil. Which kind do you think is the best? And he just laughed. He just laughed at me, and he goes, well, he goes, I suppose any kind's better than nothing at all. I just got, yeah, I'm thinking too hard about it, right? You know what's better than anything? Make sure there's oil in the thing. Because what happens is it keeps moving, and all of a sudden, just, it's going to stop moving. If you want to keep going in life, you got to keep that oil. You got to keep that grace flowing so that you can keep flowing. Anybody with me? Say amen. And I have a whole other story about how I killed my dad's diesel rabbit by not putting oil in it. But I'm going to leave it at that. And the last one is this. Point number three is the grace to stay the course. God's grace will always keep us going if we just don't give up. Anybody say amen? How many of you are ready to give up today? Don't. God's grace will get you through it. You remember what it says in 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, and we've probably read it three or four times in this series. The Apostle Paul says three times, he had a thorn in the flesh. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me what? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Say that again with me, would you? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. One more time. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Grace is sufficient. Say, Lord, 33 times I ask you to take this pandemic away, and still we are here. But guess how we're going to get through it this next time? By grace. As long as we've got grace on our side, we can get through anything. Yeah? So I know there's a lot of you that don't watch football, and I even mentioned this the other day, but I was just thinking, Lord, I just want an ability to just keep running even when I don't want to go. And I don't ever want to give up. And I just remembered this play. I know you don't have to know about sports to know what happens in this play. So here is the Seattle Seahawks, right? Greatest team that's ever walked the face of the planet. Christian quarterback, Christian wide receivers. And Russell Wilson makes a rare mistake. well, it's not so rare for the last couple of weeks, but he threw an interception. And a guy on the other team named Buda Baker, who's super fast, he's the defender, he picks it off, he intercepts it. So he grabs the pass out of midair from the 5-yard line, so it's 100 yards from one end to the other. He's only got to run 95 yards, and he's got an advantage. Everybody else is running that way, and he picked it off, and he's running that way. And he runs past Russell Wilson, who's the quarterback, who's kind of running, but kind of running slow, and all of the defenders are chasing, but everybody's like, ah, nobody can catch Buda Baker. He's one of the fastest guys in the NFL. And then out of nowhere comes DK Metcalf. Second year in the league, he's 6'4", 239, and can run a 40-yard dash in 4.33 seconds, but I think he even broke that. He saw that guy get the ball, and he turned just like that from offense to defense, even though he had 10 yards on him. And just watch what happened.
He's connected on with 6 different receivers, and this time he lost one and is picked off at the goal line. That's Buda Baker. Buda Baker out in front. Can Metcalf track him down? Can he chase him down? And he does to save a touchdown. But what a play.
I could watch it all day long. Oh, let's see it again, can we?
We hadn't mentioned Baker's name tonight on a defensive play. There he is.
Look at what happens. They're all right there. They come snap to the line of scrimmage to try and get it off quickly so that he got confused on the defensive side. Buda Baker did not. But watch the play by DK Metcalf. He is flying down the field. Baker thinks he's going to walk into the end zone, and Metcalf just refused to let it go. It was unbelievable how much ground he made up. That had to be 10 yards on a very fast Buda Baker, and he just tracked him down.
And his first down and goal now.
There he is.
From the 8.
How'd you like to be that big and that fast? Man, I just thought, wow, he's a believer too. But I just thought, well, there's at one point, scientists say he actually broke the sound barrier. About 2/3 through, could you tell he ran track in college? Because he turned into a track runner. The first thing he did was he got his head down low, got his center of gravity low, so he took off like a sprinter. And when he gets up about 2/3 through there, I clocked it and timed it. He averaged between 2 40-yard dashes, he runs a 4-second flat. And at one point, his feet are moving so fast, I could swear, I look closely, his feet aren't even touching the ground. He's just flying like angels are carrying him through the field. Why? Because he put his head down and he says, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. That's an impossible play, but I can do it. He fixed his eyes on the target. He didn't let anything else distract him, and he just went, and he carried it. I can't run that fast. At one point, it looks like, doesn't it? It looks like a cougar chasing down a rabbit or something like that. It looks like Pastor Mike chasing down a Krispy Kreme. It was just flying down the road as fast as a train. And he got to his target. Why? Everybody else gave up. One of his teammates even was interviewed afterwards. And they said, you know, I was going to try to go run and block for him. And then I saw DK pass me. And I said, Buda, you're on your own. He says, he's just going to get you. Sometimes you just got to put your head down and keep going. And God will get you through it. He really will. He will carry you through. When we run out of strength, when it's too hard for us, it's God's grace that carries us the rest of the way. Have you ever been like that? You're running the race, or you're going, and you're going, and said, Lord, I just run out of strength, and all of a sudden you just keep going. You say, what happened? God's grace is carrying me now. All I got is God's grace left. But friends, that's all you need. As long as his grace has not abandoned you, you can make it. You're going to make it. You think you can't, but you can because of him in our life. Whatever challenge God gives us, it's God's grace that gives us through. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Would you read this last verse with me today? He says, I always thank my God for you because of his, what? Grace given you in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You're not lacking anything today. Whatever you lack, God's grace will make up the difference. He's the difference maker. Amen? What do you lack today? You lack strength? Do you lack discernment? Do you lack understanding on how to unravel the problem? Do you lack peace in your household? pray for God's grace. Say, Lord God, I just need you. Do you remember who Corrie ten Boom was? Corrie ten Boom wrote the book, The Hiding Place. She was a great evangelist at the end of her life. She grew up in a Dutch family that were Christians, and during the Nazi takeover of Holland, they helped Jewish families escape the Nazis. Well, eventually they were captured themselves and put into prison camps. And she lost her sister in that prison camp as they were young girls, and somehow she survived it. And so part of her testimony was just being someone that had survived a Nazi prison camp. And people would ask her, how did you do it? How in the world could anybody go through a nightmare that terrible, that horrific? I don't know how any human could even survive that kind of trauma and abuse. And she would just say every time, the only way I made it is because God's grace was with me. And she goes, people would come to her and say, sister, I don't think I could ever do it. She goes, no, you couldn't. And because God hasn't called you to go through that. God gave me the grace to survive a prison camp because I needed to survive a prison camp. He won't give you the grace you don't need. I loved how she used to talk about grace. Do you hear it? Grace isn't just something that happens to me. Grace is the power to do whatever I have to go through. So she says, listen, if you've got a special need child, God will give you the grace to parent a special need child. If you have a disability, God will give you the grace to live with a disability. If you have financial problems, God will give you the grace to get through that. Whatever the difficulty is, whatever the pain is, whatever the injury is, God will give you the grace. He won't give it before you need it, and he won't give it after you need it. He'll give it to you right when you need it, and he'll give you everything you need. Pray for God's grace. Say, Lord, I don't know, during this shutdown, how are these parents doing it? I think of single moms or single parents or people that have to work full-time and also homeschool full-time. I know because Molly and I are doing it. I said, how in the world are you doing it? And it's because God's grace gives us the ability to do it. It's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's when things get over my head that I need his grace all the more. Anybody with me so far? Can I pray for grace for you today? Anybody need a little bit? Two? Anybody else want to grab a hold? Okay, good. Let's pray together. And if you're at home today, just receive it today. Lord Jesus, today, I just pray for grace on every single family, Lord, that you would pour it out on us as individuals. Lord, not only do I need it for me in my life because there are so many ways that I struggle, Lord, but I pray also that you would teach us how to be people of grace, that everywhere we go, Lord, we would just shine the light bright and be beacons of hope, that people would know, Lord, that you are love and that you are a gracious God because they see it in how we respond. So today, Lord God, I just pray that you would lift up a spirit, Lord, that you would take away a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of grief, a spirit of anxiety, and replace it with your grace in Jesus' mighty name. And while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place and maybe there's some business you need to do between you and the Lord, something that's not quite right, or you just haven't been walking closely with him, and you know today, you just need to reconcile with him. You need to get back together with the Lord and say, Lord, I need a fresh start today. I need a fresh start. I need to start over. I need your grace to just wash me clean and start me anew. Friends, he's here and his grace is abundant. If you need his grace today and would like to just do some business with the Lord, would you look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Friend, even if you're at home today, would you pray this with me, friends? And if you're praying this prayer, you just need to know that God hears it and he loves you, and so much so that he gave his life for you. And so let's pray together, Lord. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I need your grace today. Come into my life. Pour out your spirit upon me. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. I give you all the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love all of you so much. And next week, a lot of you, I won't see just for a couple of weeks, and then we'll see what happens. We're just going to keep praying together. And so I'll see most of you online next week. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Go in the grace of God.